Boker Tov, everyone. Bisurot Tovot. Hashem Yigdor Pirtzot Amo Yisrael. Today's daf in Mesechet Yuma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yutet. We're holding a Tehillah Mishnah on Yutchet Amud Beis, which we did yesterday, but which we should review as a beginning for the daf. So we're continuing on with how it is that the Kohen Gadol was treated during these 7 days, and what it was that he had to do, and so on. And we're up to where Masruhu Ziknei Beidin Ziknei Kuhuna. So we've spoken about all of the various things that the Ziknei Beidin, how they took care of him, what it is that they showed him and taught him, and so on. Now they give him over to the experts of the Kayanim, and because it's time to teach him the way to do chafina. We're going to see that chafina is exceedingly difficult because he's got to get all of the keteres that was inside of the shovel that he was bringing, and he's got to get every last bit into his own palms. And it's very difficult to do that, obviously, without spilling. So he's going to be up there in the Beit Aftinas, which is the place where they made the keteres, v'yishbi'uhu, and they make him swear, as we'll see in a moment, v'niftaru v'alchulam, and then they walk out so that they shouldn't, apparently, it bedavka they should walk out so that he shouldn't be in their presence because of the way that they had to talk to him. V'amru lo, yishiko in gado, anu shluchei beidin, v'ata shlucheinu v'shliach beidin. So you are, and we don't understand what this means. It sounds like all of the avoda that you're going to be doing is going to be done as our shliach. Which is a big question, because as we'll see in the Gemara, it isn't clear that Kohanim are acting as the shluchim, technically, of the people who are sending the korban. The question is, are they shluchim being appointed by us, or is this just their tafkid min hashamayim? And then when we bring in a korban, we're not giving it to the Kohen that he should do it for us. We're delivering it to the Beis HaMikdash. And this is the way the Beis HaMikdash handles it, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed these people to bring korbanos. That can make tremendous differences, lahalacha, as we'll see, very simple ways. So it's not clear what this means, but it certainly sounds as if we're telling him, look, you know, you're working for us, and you're going to be doing what it is that we tell you to do. And we are being sent by Beis Din, and you work for us, and you have to listen to the Beis Din. We're going to see that that's not necessarily what it means at all. And we make you swear by he who has invested his name into this building, into this home, which we pointed out yesterday, relates to the story of Shach Netziv, Shochein Netziv, and he was Shochein Shmo B'Bayit Hazeh, and that you cannot change anything. We'll see in the Gemara why we're worried, because as we already know, of course, the big problem with the Zedukim, who poreshu boche, and he goes away from them and cries that they should have thought such things about him. Vehim poreshim ubochim, and we'll discuss in the Gemara why it is that they cry. And ima yachacham, so if he is himself a chacham, so we ask him to be doresh, and im lav tamid chachamim dorshim lefanav, so that he can hear from others. Im ragil ikrot kore, mim lav korim lefanav. If he himself is somebody who knows how to read, as we pointed out yesterday, it's not easy to know how to read in those days, because you had to actually put in all you had was a scroll. You had to put in the pisuk and the taimim, and you had to put in the correct nekudais and so on. So if he wasn't, so then somebody was a baki would be kore lefanav, and this is what he did all night. So this is, as we said, we're going to keep him up. We're not letting him sleep all night. So these are things that keep him awake, because they're like either they're interesting or they're going to bring him to think about things like Iov. Which, according to the Rambam, simply means, as an example, in other words, you can read whatever interests him. Others learn that Daniel is also extremely interesting, so because of that, maybe that's why we read. Okay, I mean, there are certainly other reasons to read from Daniel in terms of Golas, Geula, the Simonim of the Malchias, the Pachad of the Shechina, and so on. Okay, so now, this we did yesterday, so continues the Gemara now to explain the Mishnah. Why was he taken to Aftinas? Tanel Lam Dochefina. since he's going to have to learn how to do the chafina, which he has both of his palms together, and he has to get all of the keteris into it, which is complex. He has to use his thumbs to bring the keteris in. He has to support the machta with his teeth. We'll talk about it later, but that took him a lot of practice. So we would take him every day to Lishkas Beis Avtivnas, because that was the place where they would be making the keteris. And it also makes him think the same way that we made him think by being mavir l'fan of the various animals. It makes him think out about what is the correct way to be dealing with the keteres, which is what we're trying to impress upon him when we make him make that shvu at the end. Omrev Papa, shtei lishakot hayu lo l'kohen gadol. The truth is there were two places where the Kohen would have an office in the Beis HaMikdash. One of them was his quarters where he slept in, was the Lishkas Vahedrin. And the other one was the Lishkas Beis Avtinas, where over there is where he worked at getting used to the Aveda during the day. Now, one of these Lishakot was in the north, and one of them was in the south. And we're not quite sure which one was where, but we do know that they were in these two places because, look, we can figure it out from the Mishnah in Midos. Achat b'tzafon, it's not because in Midos it says that there were sheish Lishakot ayu ba'azara, shalosh b'tzafon v'shalosh ba'doron. So this is not exactly true, because the Mishnah is leaving out. So discussion there in the Mefarshim, why does the Mishnah leave out? There were other Lishakot that we're going to be actually talking about, and they were in, that we didn't mention, and they were at the entryway by the entrance of Shar Niknor. Okay, but we're only talking about the north and south for some reason here, and not in the east. So there were six there. And the three in the south were Lishkat HaMelach, Lishkat HaParva, and Lishkat HaMedichin. So what exactly were these things for? If you take a look on your map that I sent you, you can see that when you walk into Shar Niknor, and this is the area that we're referring to when we're talking about the Lishakot, we're talking about in the area that we call the Ezrat Yisrael, and that's right by Shar Niknor. So we're not mentioning the two yet, anyway. We're not mentioning the two Lishakot right at the edge of the Shar Niknor, of the Ta'im of Shar Niknor, to the right and to the left, meaning to the Tzafon and to the Darom, respectively. That we will discuss. Pinchas HaMalbish, as you can see there, and the Osei Chavitin. Now, the ones we are talking about are the three that are all the way to the south now. One right next to the other, the Lishkat HaMedichin, the Lishkat HaParva, and Lishkat HaMelach. Now, what exactly are these things for? So the Lishkat HaMelach was where they kept the salt for the various karbonas, and they would bring it out as a mitzvah, remember, al kor b'karbonecha tasi melach. Lishkat HaParva. So Parva, the Gemara says, was actually the name of an individual. Parva was the place where they would salt the orot of the kachim that were going to be given out to the Kohanim. They didn't give them raw, stinking hides, but they started the process of tanning the hides, of preserving the hides, by salting them. So it was good that it was next to Lishkas HaMelach. And in modern Hebrew, the word parva, because of this, has come to mean skins. I usually use it for furs as parva. And then there was, on top of that, there was a mikveh right on top of the Lishkat HaParva. And that was the mikveh that the Kohen Gadol would use on Yom Kippur. And we'll talk about, there were actually two places where the Kohen would have to be tevel. But this mikveh that was on top was fed by the water that was coming from all the way from Ein Etam, which was at a higher pressure and came under underground piping. And that went all the way up to the roof of the Kohen Gadol, there on the roof of the Beit HaParva. And Lishkat HaMedichin, that was where they used to rinse off the Kirve Kutcher. Now, as Tosis points out, that doesn't make any sense, because we said before that there were the Shulchanot that were right there next to the Mizbeach towards the Tzafon. Remember when we went through the 135 Amos, so we had those tables that were aligned over there, and that was for the Hadachah. So what is this? So Tosafot says there were two separate places. The places that what we would do with the tables that were next to the Mizbeach was only for washing meat. So that meat that we would be Mediach put on the Mizbeach of a Korban Olah, that's fine. But we're certainly not going to wash out the innards of a carbon that is filled with stomach contents and stinks and so on. I'm going to wash that out by the Mizbeach. So that we brought to the Lishkat HaMedichin, and that's where that was handled. And in that Lishkat HaMedichim, there was a spiral staircase that you would go up from Lishkat HaMedichim that would go up to the Beit HaParva roof, and that was where the mikvah was. Now let's talk about the three Lishakot that were in the north. One was the Lishkat HaEitz, one was the Lishkat HaGola, and one was the Lishkat HaGazit. Now that is much more complex because the Lishkat HaGazit, which was the place where Sanhedrin would sit, you're not allowed to sit in the Azorah. So as you can see, the construction of Lishkat HaGazit is that it was outside of the Kadesh to allow Beis Din to be in session there. Next to it, as we're going to come out, is the Lishkat Farhedrin, and that also, the Kohen Gadol would not be allowed to sleep in the Azorah, so that was also built Bechol. And then there was the Lishkat HaGola. Now, what exactly are these things? So the Lishkat HaEitz, Omar Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov again, gosh, can't remember what that was for. Abba Shol says that was where the Kohen Gadol would stay. Okay, so now, I mean, we're assuming that that's definitely one of the Lishkat. We're going to assume that that's a reference to the Lishkat Farhedrin, but maybe that's wrong. We'll see. And this one, Haita Achorei Shteihem, continues the Mishnah. So the Lishkat HaEitz was behind both of the Lishkat HaGozis and the Lishkat HaGola, and the Gag Shloshtan Shaveh. From the outside, these looked like they were all one building. They didn't had different heights. And the reason that the Lishkat HaGola was called Lishkat HaGola was because there was a well there that had been dug when they had come up from the Gola, and they used the water from that well to supply fresh water to the entire Azor for all the purposes of Gagal Natuna Love, and they had this wheel that would make it easy to get water up. Umishon Misapki Maim L'chol HaAzara. The Lishkat HaGozis is, of course, the place where the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin HaGadol, would be Yoshev, and it was there as well that they would be Dana et HaKohanim. So they would sit, and a Kohen that was brought to the Beis HaMikdash for the first time had to go through a thorough examination by the Beis Din, both in terms of their physical body, obviously, because they couldn't have a mum, and in terms of their yichus, because they couldn't be halalim. So you think the Rabbanut gives you a rough time, let me tell you. So anyway, you would come up, the Kohen would go there. Min shenimtzu bo psul, if he was found to have a psul. Now this is talking about he was found to have a psul in his yichus, not he was found to have a psul in his body. He was found to have a psul in his body, so he was still allowed to be there in the Beis HaMikdash, and he would be working in the with the other Kohanim to check over the wood and so on and so forth. That's how many Mefarshim learn. If he found that there was a psul, that he wasn't a kosher Kohen, so then Ayalo Veshchorim and Mitatev Shchorim, he would be wrapped in black, cover his head in black, and he would leave the Beis HaMikdash. V'yatzava halachlos. This basically defined who was a Kohen kosher, which is why we're able to be semech on the work in the Beis HaMikdash as being a raya to the kashrut of Yichus. Shalonim tzabo psul, but if he was found to actually be roy to be a Kohen, so then ayalavesh levanim, umbetatef levanim, uminichras b'shamesh me'chav ha-Kohanim. So this would be the first time that he came to Aveda, that he actually was like a holiday for him. We also know, of course, that he would bring a special korban on that day. That was his minchas chinuch, so it really was a holiday for him. And then, says Rav Papa, now, I've established in your mind that there was a Lishka for the Kohen Gadol in the north, right? Okay, we don't know which one it is. But we did say over here clearly, what was it for? We said in the Mishnah, the Kohen Gadol was used that for Yom Kippur. Okay, now, I want to prove to you that there was also another Lishka, and then I'm going to try to figure out which one was which. We know there was another Lishka in the Darom. How do we know that? Because in the opening of Midos, in the first parak, we learn that Shiva Sharim Hayuba Azara. And remember, we've spoken about this, that there were these seven gates in the Azara. Three of them were Batzafon, three of them were Badaram, and one of them, the big gate of Sharniknar, was obviously in the Knisa. Now, this is the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Remember that we had before that there were 13 gates that we learned in Shkolim, which were the place in that sheet, according to Rabbanan, where we had the various Ishtachavayot. According to this Mishnah, which is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Ishtachavayot were connected to places that the Greeks had broken into the, broken through the Chel, in the Sorek. So what were these seven? So they were like this. The Dorom, starting all the way from the far west end, as far away as you get from the entry into the Beis HaMikdash, that was called the Shar HaDelek, or the Shar HaLeika, which was, Rashi says he doesn't know why it was called that. Other Mepharshim say that it was called that because that's where they would bring directly the Gizrei Eitzim through there. Okay. Shenilo was called the Shar HaKorban. Rashi again says he doesn't know. There's the other, remember that we had before, that this was called the Shar HaBechorot, because the Bechorot were given to the Kohanim, and they were Bedoraim, and those were not something that the Baalim would bring, so it was a special place where the Kohanim would take over. They would take over the Dinim of the Bechor. That's the other Girsa. If you hold it Shar HaKorban, so it's not clear why it was called a Korban. Rashi says he doesn't know. And actually, some learn is that this was the place where Avram Avinu had come into Har HaMoriah, and it was HaKorban, meaning it was the original Korban of Yitzchak Beno, had come from here. Shlishi Lo is the Shar HaMayim, which we discussed before. That's where we bring in the water. This was all the way towards the other side, towards the entryway. And that's where we brought in the water Bachag. And that's where the water is going to come out, Latid Lavo, which we spoke about, where the water keeps getting more and more powerful as it leaves the Beis HaMikdash. And then we had Bimizrach, we had Shar Niknor. Now we're finally getting to the two Lishakot on either side of Shar Niknor, Shtei Lishakot Ayusha. One to the right of Shar Niknor, and one to the left as you're coming in, which means one to the north and one to the south. If you take a look at your map, so one of them was called the Lishkat Pinchas Hamlabesh. So he was the one that was in charge of all the Big Day Kahuna. And remember, the Big Day Kahuna had to be properly fitted. He was the one who would make sure that everything was fitted properly. You deposited your Big Day Kahuna. He made sure that everything was clean and that everything was stored and so on and so forth. So this was a big job. And there was a special Lishka for it. And the other one was the Lishkat Osei Chavitin. And that was the Kohen Gadol's special korban. And remember, we spoke about when we woke people up, we woke them up early to get ready to make the chavitim. They needed to heat the water because that needed to be chalut, which was very rare. So we needed boiling hot water to pour over the solet. Okay. Anyway, so now what does this have to do with us? Well, let's finish up. We'll see how we get into our own raya that Rav Papa is trying to bring. Now let's talk about in the north, because I didn't tell you what's in the north. So in the north, starting again from the far distant one, which means all the way to the west, away from Shar Niknor. So one of them is called the Shar Hanitzotz. So that means that there was a shine of some kind that came from there. And that was that we needed to have an open area that the sun would be able to shine straight through. Maybe that's why, that's what the Ravid says, that's why we called it the Shar HaNitzotz. Others, as we said before, remember we spoke about it when we were talking about it before, we brought the Tiferes Yisrael. The Tiferes Yisrael says it was called the Shar HaNitzotz because they kept a fire going there specifically to be able to light the Mizbeach with. It's a little bit funny, but okay. Anyway, the next one down was after the Shar HaNitzotz, which is where we start defining things a little bit, because that had a second story. So it was Binyan Achsadra Haya, so it had these pillars, it had a second story on top, Aliyah Binuya Alo Al-Gabav, and you would have the Shmirah of the Migdash by Kohanim on top, and Levim on the ground level, and this is to be mekayim the mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash, which is part of the covet of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now we move to explain that this was open on one end, Petach Hayalo Lechel. It would go directly into the Chel. Remember, we had a question. I mean, the Shiloh over here is why in the heck we would talk about it's Patuach Lechel, since there's not much of a choice for it to be Patuach anything but the Chel. I mean, if it's a Shar, what would that mean? So some taina that it means that the Lishka on top of the Achsadra had the access to the Chel. Not that the gateway was to the Chel, that was obvious, and that the entranceway itself worked like a staircase that you had to come up to from the Chel in order to get into it. So it's referring still to the Lishka on top of the actual shot. The second gate was called the Shar HaKorban, and that's where Kotche Kachim would be brought in, because that had to be B'tzafein. So they were brought directly in close to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mizbeach. Shlishi lo was the Shar Beit HaMoked, and that was that big Shar that had four Lishakot built inside, we spoke about yesterday. It had the stairway going down to the mikveh that was underground. The middle had that fire that was constantly going to keep the Kohanim's toesies warm. And the other one was the smaller Beit HaMoked, which was also called the Beit HaMoked, when you came up from the going to the mikveh. That was the Shar Beit HaMoked. And it says in the Braita, now here is where my Raya is, says Rav Papa. I had to read that whole Mishnah to you so you would understand what the Braita was referring to. Now, the Braita says that Chamesh Tfilot V'Asara Kiddushin Tovel Kohen Gadol Mekadesh Bo Bayom V'Kulam B'Kodesh Agag Beit HaParva Chutz Mizu. Now, here's the deal. The Kohen Gadol had to do five separate tefillahs, because every time that he changed his clothes from either Bigdei Chol to Bigdei Kodesh in the morning or in the evening, or when he was changing from the Shmoneh Bigdei Kohen Gadol that he would normally do Aveda into the Arba Bigdei Lavan that he would do the Aveda in on Yom Kippur. So it says there, we're going to learn out from the Pasuk later on, that he has to be Teva B'Mokom Kodesh, and therefore he needed to be in a place that was Kadesh, and that was, therefore, on the one that we described before, which was Kulam B'Kodesh Al Gag Beit HaParva. So the Beit HaParva we spoke about before, those were the middle of the Lishakot that were B'Dorom as you entered into the Ezer Sisrol, all the way to your left, if you take a look at the map. But there was one that was B'Chol, because B'Chol, he needed anybody, needed when they come into the Beis HaMikdash, you were not allowed to come into the Beis HaMikdash unless you were Teva. So anyway, that first one was not part of the specific tefillahs for the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, and there it does not say B'Mokom Kadosh. On the contrary, you had to be Teva before you came to Mokom Kadosh, right? So that one was B'chol, and the one that was B'chol was directly on top of the Shar HaMayim, which came also from that came from Ein Itam, and it filled up that mikveh. And this was actually not like the mikveh that we spoke about before on the Gag Beit HaParva, because they were not Mekadesh, the top of the Shar HaMayim. So that place was still Chulin. And that place, now here's where we get to what's interesting, says Rav Papa, that place was next to the Kohen Gadol's Lishka. Okay, so now we know that besides the Lishka of the Kohen Gadol that I proved to you from the long discussion before the other Mishnah in the fifth Perek, now I just proved to you from the Braita on the Mishnah in the first Perek that there was some other Lishka. He had another office next to the Shar HaMayim. Now, I understand that we cannot prove to you from the data so far that which one was which. Now I just want to make it reasonable, okay? So I would say, look, at this point, lo yadana lishkat farhedrin b'tzafon v'lishkat beit avtinus b'daron. So far I haven't shown you whether the one that we discussed in the north, was that the lishkat farhedrin? And that would mean that the one next to the Beis HaTfila over here, that was next to the Beit HaParva. Maybe that was the Beit HaFtinas, you know? Or maybe it was the other way around. Maybe the Lishkat Beit HaFtinas was in the Tzafon, and the Lishkat Sfarhedrin is Bidoron. So it didn't give us that information, but I'm going to explain to you why I am convinced that I'm right. And that is, I say it doesn't make sense to say anything other than Mistavra, that actually the Lishkat Farhedrin was in the south. Why? Because consider the ridiculous situation we would have if the Lishkat Farhedrin was in the north, okay? Because think about it, my time. Think about the daily schedule of the Kohen Gadol during the 7 days, okay? So what's going to happen over here? First of all, he's sleeping, you're telling me, he's going to be sleeping in the south, if I'm right, in the Lishkat Sfarhedrin. Okay, he has to get up in the morning, and he's obviously Bechol, he's Makdim, and he wakes up early, Koyu Mesach et Raglav, he has to move his bowels, and then he has to go to the mikveh, which is what you're Bechuyiv to do, and anybody who's Mesach et Raglav, which is a euphemism, covering your feet, is a euphemism for moving your bowels, would be chayiv to go to the mikveh. And anyway, he would have to go to the mikveh before entering into the Azara. Okay, so great. He's right next to that mikveh, correct? Because he's going to the mikveh on top of the Shaar HaMayim. And the Shaar HaMayim was Bedarim. And he's sleeping right there next to the Shaar HaMayim. So all he does is go from the Lishkat Sfarhedrin into the mikveh. Now, he can't walk through the Azara to get to the mikveh, because he has to first go to the mikveh before he goes to the Azara. Okay, so he walks out the door, turns to his right, and then finds the door to the mikveh, goes to the right, and goes up to that mikveh. So that's fine. That's very, very convenient. Now, once he does that, he then walks over to the Beit HaFtinas in the north, through the Azara, Azil Tzafra and Vegomra Chafina, and he's Azila Beis HaMikdash, Ravid Avada Kula Yuma. Now he starts his journey coming back. So after practicing Chafina for a couple of hours, now he goes back to do what he has to do, which we said, Kol Shivas HaYomim, is he's the one that has to take care of the Zurich, the Damatomid, etc., etc. So he does that after he woke up very early, did this early. Now he's finished his lessons in Beit HaFtinas just in time for taking care of the Tamid and so on. And he works the whole day. And then towards the evening, that's when we do the Hazoya of the, at least according to Rabbi Akiva. So it's kind of like Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so it's towards the night. We don't want to make him tummy in the day. It's towards the night. We're Maza on him from the Paraduma, or from all of the Paradumas. And we then, he's now going to go straight back home to his Lishka in the south. And at that point, he goes to the mikveh, because according to Rabbi Akiva, he needs to go to the mikveh again because of the Hazoya, and that way, by the time the sun sets, he's going to be Tahar, and then he goes back to sleep in the Lishkat Sfarhedrin, right? Oh, everything is very convenient. So basically, it's one big circle. So we go Lishkat Sfarhedrin up to the mikveh, across the Azara to Beit HaFtinas, back to the middle of the Azara to take care of the Tamid, back up to the mikveh, and then back into his bed, in the Lishkat Sfarhedrin next door. Very convenient. Now, says Rav Papa, I ask you to imagine what the schedule is like if it's not that way, because it's a little bit insane, right? Let's consider what would happen if it was the Lishkat Sfarhedrin that was in the north, and it was Lishkat Beit HaFtinas, which is in the south. Then it's absolutely nuts, because what happens is, he wakes up in his Lishkat Sfarhedrin in the north, right? Okay, goes to the bathroom. Now he has to go all the way around to the south to get to the top in the mikveh and the top of the Shaar HaMayim, which is Bechol. He can't cut across the Azara to do that. First of all, he can't even go into the Azara. Secondly, even if he is allowed to go into the Azara, he's not allowed to take a shortcut across the Azara. So he's got to go outside, walk all the way around the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, this is like he's got to go all the way around the Ezra's Nashim from the outside, right? Going through the Chel, walking all the way around, coming to the Shaar HaMayim, going up to Beit Tovel and the Shaar HaMayim. Then he's got to go all the way to the other side to get the Lishkat Aftinas, right? And now, okay, so now he's Ozul Dorum, Tovil, then he's Gomer Chafina, goes into, if this is the way, then he's next to the Chafina, and he would be Oti LeBet HaMikdash, Va'avid Avada Kula Yuma. Then he goes to do his Avada. Then towards the night, they do the Azoya. Then he's got to go again back to the south to be able to do the tefillah on the Sharamayim. Then he's got to go all the way around back to the north because that's where he's got to go to his Lishkas Fahedron where his bed is. I mean, that's crazy. He's walking additional kilometers for no reason here. Umi torach matrachim, mitbrach tarchinan lekulei hai. I mean, why should we drive him nuts? It's much more reasonable what I'm saying. The Lishkas Fahedron was in the south, next to the Sharamayim, and the Lishkas Aftinas was in the north. So Zikmar, why shouldn't we bother him? I don't understand. All of a sudden, we don't want to drive him crazy? I'd say on the contrary. Drive him totally nuts. Alam alo, why not? Matrachin alay tvei, the more you get him bothered, the better. I mean, if he's a tzaduki, and he's in this for the, you know, the covet, let him give up and say, what are you, nuts? You got to go through this hell just for a little bit of covet? It ain't worth it. So then he won't go. He won't buy his way into the Kunin Gedol if he knows this is what's involved. So let him be Purish. We don't need these guys at the Beis HaMikdash messing up the Haktaras Kteres. And even if he's a good guy, Inami, let's say he's a good guy. We don't know what he is, but if he's a good guy, guess what's going to happen to him if he's treated like a big fancy Kohen Gadol and everybody's being really nice to him? And, oh, we don't want to bother you. You know, he ends up getting stuck up. If he's stuck up, his Aveda is garbage. We don't want him to get stuck up. Make him feel like a piece of garbage. Go ahead. Well, go ahead. I'm going to have to walk all the way. Yeah, go ahead. Sure. Walk an extra kilometer. Who do you think you are anyway? Piece of garbage. So at least let him learn. Shalot HaZuar Daitor love. Let him not get stuck up. And that way he'll be in a much better position to do the Aveda. That was all part of the Prisha. Moshe Rabbeinu was to scare the hell out of him when he was going up to Har Sinai, like we said before, that it should be Be'emo, Be'yira, Be'tet, Be'zeah. Okay, fine. So let the Kohen Gadol feel the same way. No problem. So this, I say, says the Gemara to Rav Papa, exactly the opposite. Like you're saying, it's more mistaver that we don't trouble him. I'm saying the halacha itself shows that on the contrary. We're not interested in making life easy for him. Because the Elote Malchi, if you don't accept the fact that we have no interest in making life easy for the Kohen Gadol, how do you explain the fact that we don't put his two offices next to each other? I mean, you're saying it's better this way, because then when he has to walk all the way over to Lishkas Aftinas, anyone's going to be able to walk as part of... So then why don't we just build the two of them right next to each other? He doesn't have to... That way he doesn't have to walk back and forth at all, you know? Or for that matter, why not let him have a place to sleep right over there in the Lishkas Beis Aftinas? It's Kalei B'chada. Well, we have to give him a place on the north and a place on the south. That's not exactly efficiency engineering. I mean, anybody who would engineer an office building like that would be thrown out. Yeah, ask Alon. Alon, are you there? Is this bad design or is it not bad design? We want to know if you're there. Yes, indeed. Matrachina Laleila das if he's paying attention. Ah, now we've got a riot. Anyway, so he's there. Okay, so obviously we don't care. We're not in this for efficiency. So we're in this to make his life difficult. Okay, so because of that, we dafka, maybe it's the opposite. And we would say it's more reasonable to say the opposite of Rav Papa. The Farhedron was in the north and the Aftinas was in the south, and that makes things even more miserable. So that would make Bimatriachim even more. Okay. And Gabi made the mistake this morning learning with me. I was telling him that he should have one of these little bottles, you know, because they're so much cleaner and you drink so much more. And he's got this big bottle that you can't put in the dishwasher. So he says, yeah, but exactly. But I have the big, if I have the little bottles, I have to keep getting up and getting new water. That's today's sugya. You're supposed to get up. Somebody chose the wrong day. But all right. So we want to be matriach on you to make sure that you walk every few minutes, right? Not a good idea to be sitting all day. So then it says in the Mishnah, Momrulo ishi kohen gadol, anush atash luchenu, and so on and so forth. Now, wait a second over here. This is a big machlokas. So are you telling me that we finally have a raya against Ravuna Bereder of Yeshua? Because Lemetavit Yufta, the Ravuna Berei the Rav Yeshua from the Mishnah. Ravuna Berei the Rav Yeshua says that if somebody makes a neder and he asers himself Bahana from a Kohen, so then he is allowed to use that Kohen to bring his Karban. Why? Because the Kohanim don't work for you. They're not your shluchim. You're basically bringing your carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, and then, like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes over. So the fact that you said you won't be nene from a particular coin has nothing to do with it, because that is not giving you any direct hana. So, and my raya is, says Rav Nebrei the Rav Yeshua, is it's got to be that way, because if it's not that way, the Iyamet Shluchei Didanin, if you're going to tell me that they are working for us, how do you explain the fact that a person should be able to make a shliach to do something which he cannot do? If you can't do the Aveda, so then how can you make a shliach to do the Aveda? Always Dalokhe Shlucha Shaladam Kamoto. So whatever you have the legal ability to achieve, you can have your shliach achieve. And it be committed that non lo matzino lameva vishluchei didan matzin avdei. So therefore, the Mishnah that says, Beferish, you are our shliach. Oh my gosh, it's an unbelievable. Tiyufta, no? No. You misinterpret the Mishnah entirely. Orchika amrele. This we find in the Dorim, and we find this, we had this in Sanhedrin, that when a person takes a shvua in court, so we tell him, so in other words, if you have some kind of weird thing in your mind, such as that when I'm saying I already paid him back the money, what I mean is I asked him to hold my cane, which has the money in it, you know, the old story over there. That's not what your shvua means. Your shvua means what we think it means, not what you think it means. So that's basically what we're telling him. We're asking you now to take this shvua, and he has to say amen to that shvua, not according to what you're thinking, but according to what we're thinking and according to the way Bezdin is thinking. So it's not going to help you to keep your fingers crossed behind your back with a little petek saying, yes, when I promise to do everything la halacha, what I mean is la halacha the way I have been taught by my rabbi, the tzaduki, and so on. That's not going to work. Okay, so that's the point. And then, I understand why he is deeply hurt. So who po reshu boche, shechashdu tzeduki. There's like, somebody could look at me and know me and be choshed me of being a tzeduki. It's very, very painful. But why are they parshinu boche? The Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, kol ha-choshed b'ksherim lo kebegufo. Somebody who thinks bad things of a person who is kosher is punished. Like Moshe Rabbeinu when he said, "Ein lo yaminu li," and he ended up getting tzoras. That was the whole story with Eli, where he suspected Chana of being drunk, and he had to apologize to her and give her a brocha and so on. So the question is what this means, because it's not very clear. And therefore what? And therefore they're crying because they're going to be punished? I mean, that's a little ridiculous. For many reasons. You understand why it's ridiculous. I mean, maybe they're doing the job of the best, and so they're going to be punished because they're chayshid. I'm really chayshid, and so on. So, I mean, the pashtus is that since being chayshid b'ksherim is a horrible thing, that's the point. So, I mean, even to go through the motions of making somebody respond to this kind of thing makes me feel dirty. Like, how do I speak this way, b'chlo? And even worse, it makes me feel like what a tragedy that we should be in the Beis HaMikdash and need to tell the Kohen Gadol that he's got to take a shvua because we can't trust the Kohen Gadol. I mean, it's unbelievable. So the whole situation is a tragic situation. That's the point. So we're not really, it's because you may say, okay, but you know, I was just chayshed. But chayshed itself is enough to put you here. Take a look at Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So even though you want to go through the emotions of that, that itself is terrible. And then that's probably the pshat. Anyway, what is all of this about? I mean, like, we seem to have this hang-up about the tzeduki business and the keturis business. Like, what is this all about?
That
The tzedukim, they understand the pasuk kiba ananer ala kaporas. That means that you can only go in with that anan, and then the Shekhinah will appear on the kaporas. But shouldn't go in without the anan haktoras. Okay? Tana Rabbanan. This is an amazing Gemara. My Rebbe used to bring this Gemara all the time. Mamish. Also, Yom Kippur. Tana Rabbanan. Ma'aseh b'tzeduki echad. Shekin mi bachutz. There was a ma'aseh that a tzeduki did this. And he was masking the ketores b'bachutz, and he brought it in with the anan haktoras. He was like in such simcha that finally somebody was zaycha to bring the keteres properly and was able to make a kapora for Klal Yisrael to get away from all of these bishagoyim that hold you're supposed to do the keteres the way they say. They don't even know how to read a pasuk. Baruch Hashem. Anyway, his father meets him and he says to him, listen, I understand that you're very happy, but I don't think you were allowed to do that. I mean, you could have gotten yourself killed, you know? I mean, we may be tzedukim, but mityarim anu mina prushim, these religious maniacs, I mean, who knows what they'll do to you? Amarlo, so he said to him, and if they would have killed me, it wouldn't have been worth it. Kol yamai hayiti mitztaher al mikra zeh, ki ba'anan ere lakapur. So I remember my Rebbe was tears. The same words of Rabbi Akiva. Kol yamai hayiti mitztaher, he's going in there to be Meisr Nefesh, Shema Yisrael, the Yosios, Rebbe, Ad Kan. Of course, kol yamai hayiti mitztaher. Unbelievable, word for word. Amarti, still word for it. Mataya voli adiva kaimen alavai, I should be zeich, be mekayim, this pasuk. So now, what, just because I'm going to get killed? So because of that, I shouldn't be mekayim, the pasuk? This is what he tells his father. Amarti mataya voli adiva kaimen alavai, I should be zeich. Akshav shabali yadi loya kamiya, understand the madrega of this tzeduki. Amru loya yu yamim muatim at shemait vutal bashpa. This guy dropped dead. And they threw his body into a garbage can. And they found it with worms crawling in and out of his nose and decay. Why his nose? I mean, so Rashi learns his nose. We learn out from the bite of Negoyim that even if he went in backwards and even his nose was outside, so then he wasn't considered to be a nichmas halabayit. Which shows that the first element of Knesa was his nose. But the others learn the obvious reason that we're talking about the Ketores. And the Ketores means that he was an enter from the Ketores outside of the bringing it into the correct place. And this is very similar to, I mean, Lahavdil, but these are the Shnei Chutei Esh that went into the nose of Nadav Aviyu, who were also involved with the Ketores in Esh Zorah. Okay. In any event, so my Rebbe always used to say, you see, the unbelievable darga of Mesiras Nefesh, that the more garbage the reason for the thing you're being Mesiras Nefesh is, the more garbage you are. Mesiras Nefesh proves absolutely nothing except how big of a garbage pail you are. So together with that shmuz, he always brought in the Gemara about Lo davar reku michem, achot lo tan timna. What does achot lo tan timna teach us? No, because Lotan was one of the highest placed people. It means that his sister was Timna, so she was a princess. And it says, V'timna ita pelegesh l'alifaz ben Esav. And how did she become a pelegesh? A princess becomes a pelegesh. Says the Gemara, she wanted so much to be mistabik to Klal Yisrael that she came to be misgayer and they wouldn't accept her. So she said, Mutav she'eya pelegesh b'bayit hazeh, I'd rather be a pelegesh in the house of Avram Avinu's descendants, than that I should be a princess in my own country. And the next words are Vateledlo es Amalek. What comes out of that madrega of Mesiras Nefesh? You need tremendous Mesiras Nefesh to build Amalek. Unbelievable. Mamish. Fantastic. That's exactly, unfortunately, what you see. People, Mesir Nefesh, to go on, to travel all day long, go to Meiron, sing a whole night, and so on. What are you being Mesir Nefesh for exactly? That's the question, always. Not how much you're doing, but what is what you're doing. The Eish Omrim, now others say that a Kohen once that brought the Keteres in the wrong way was killed on his way out of the Kodesh HaKadosh, because as Rabbi Chiya said, all of a sudden they hear this smack coming out of the sound coming out of the Beis HaMikdash, kimin kol nishma ba'azara, because a malach had come and smashed him on the back, throwing him on his face. V'nichnusu echav ha-kohanim, and they came running in, and they found the mark of the egel between his shoulder blades. So they had this hoof of an egel that had pushed him out and kicked him out. Shenema v'ragleim regel yishara, v'chaf regleim kechaf regel egel. So he was killed on the spot, being pushed out from by the egel, so to speak, in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Omer Rabbi Zechariah ben Kavutal. Now, once, this was another story, of course, Rav Chanan bar Rava, who made the mistake of accepting the job of being the tutor of Rav's son. Anyway, so there he was, again, teaching Lechia bar Rav in front of Rav, and he's teaching in this Mishnah, and he says, Omer Rabbi Zechariah ben Kaputal. So Rav says, Kaputal, bays, Kavutal. So he's machvel with his hands, he makes this bays. Pronounce that Kavutal, not Kefutal. Why didn't you just tell him? Well, why do you have to? Now he was in the middle of saying Kriyat Shema. Middle of saying Kriyat Shema. So then how was he allowed to make the bays, right? So then Vichyai Gavna Mishari. Ve'om Rav Yitro Bar Shmuel Bar Marta, somebody who's Kriyat Shema. And he's not allowed to be Romeiz Be'inav, Lo Yikrotz Bisfatav, Lo Yoreh Be'etzbotav. No signaling, not using your eyes to wink or not to make sounds, so but without speaking with your lips, not to point with your fingers, not to dial your phone. V'tanya, Reb Elezer Chasma Omer, HaKorei Et Shema, Umar Ameiz Be'inav, Mekaretz Bisfatav, Umar Be'etzbotav, Allah v'katuv omer, you're maybe reading Kriyat Shema, but it sure ain't my Kriyat Shema. Lo tikarata Yaakov. So sort of play on words of Kriyat Shema, of Kriya, right? So lo tikarata Yaakov. Anyway, so how was Rav allowed to do that? Lo kasha b'perek rishon v'ha b'perek sheni. There's the differences we saw before between the first parasha of Kriyat Shema and the second parasha of Aya im Shomoa. Toner Rabbanim, once we're already talking about Vidibarta Bam, so Vidibarta Bam means you're only allowed to be talking during Kriyat Shema. Vidibarta Bam. Bam v'lo b'tfila. So we have two basic approaches here about this. Rashi understands Vidibarta Bam means that you can speak if you need to Tosfos learns, you can speak literally if you need to interrupt. You're allowed to be mafsik during Kriyat Shema, in the various cases, when they are covered, when they are yira. But in tefillah, you can't interrupt a filu melach shor b'shlomo, a filu nochash karuch al you can't interrupt. That's how Tosfos learns. It means literally to speak. And Rashi learns it means voice. You can't voice. So in tefillah, you can't speak aloud, because you're not, that's what we learn out from Chana. So of kol alo nishma'ah. Okay, lo yishamea. So therefore, bam yesh lecha rishut ledaber means during Kriyat Shema, you have the rishus to speak aloud, but not bedvarim acherim like tefillah. Obviously, that doesn't, Tosfos doesn't like that, because it's not a question of rishus. There's no, it's a question of you specifically. You're supposed to be mashmiya la'aznecha and so on. Rav Acha says, v'dibarta bam means your involvement in speech in your life is about them, meaning about divrei Torah. Dibarta bam, asay otam keva, alta say marai, that is your centerpiece in life. And there's also Amarava. From here you see that asach sichat chulin over base, somebody who speaks nonsense, that has, it's just casual conversation without any purpose, which is 99% of people's conversations, is over on a mitzvah zaseh, because it says, Vidibarta bam, if you're going to be talking, talk about divrei Torah. Bam velo bedvarim acherim. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omer over Balav. It's also a lav from Kohelet. Kol advarim yegeim lo yuchal ish ledaber. So kol advarim yegeim, it's so tiring, all of this garbage. There's so much garbage out there. You could spend 1,000 years, you won't get to the bottom of one day's internet garbage. So lo yuchal ish ledaber means lo yuchal, you're not allowed ledaber. That's the point.
Allows Rebbe to speak about Lag BaOmer for a few minutes.
Oy, vey, vey. This Lag BaOmer is not the Lag BaOmer I want to speak about. It seems to be very inappropriate to speak about the chashivas, the yonim of Lag BaOmer, on a day that was so mechalal, the yonim of Lag BaOmer. You know, there's a maaser we spoke about with Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that someone who was mechalal Lag BaOmer. It was a terrible story. There was a famous story that's brought by those that were there in Tzfat at that time, including all the Bali Kabbalah. So anyway, somebody had said Birkat HaMazon with Menachem Tzion Bonei Yerushalayim, and he had a dream that night. He didn't have the dream, actually. It was forgot who had the dream. That Reb Shimon bar Yochai appeared to him in the night and said, who would say such a thing in the middle of the Simcha of Meron? Such a person should be in Avelus. And that person's son died. It's like it was mamish that kind of thing. And it's unbelievable because it's the next Mishnah. I really wanted to say the Mishnah, but the Mishnah talks about that they tell the Kohen Gadol, you know. It's all very nice to do the Aveda, you know, but im Hashem lo yivna'ir, shav amel. It's all a bunch of garbage relating to the garbage. And Rashi mamish brings that over here as part of like what it is that they're telling him, that they're telling the Kohen Gadol, shav amlu bonavbo bechinam yegeim bebinyan shelo yitkayem. In im Hashem lo yivna'ir, you make sure everything you do is l'shem shamayim. All of this tircha that you're going, it's not worth anything. It's completely and totally useless. I don't know what it will take to get such a thing into people's minds. It's just unbelievable. People keep doing things, going through the motions, trying to turn themselves on, doing absolutely nothing. And then they're wondering how such terrible things can come, such wonderful things. And I'll tell you the honest truth. I turned on Meron last night. My wife called. You know, it's so beautiful. They're lighting the lights. I said, okay, I'll take a look. I was so disgusted that I went to turn on. That's when I sent Meshul David. I went to turn on As My Guitar Gently Weeps. I sent you the connection. Because it was like, it was just, you know, I felt that was much more rowy than what I was looking at over there. I don't know what's going to be. Okay, Rabbi Osai, anyway, Bisurot Tovot, it's good to put in some special tefillas today to realize, Im Hashem lo yivne bayit, it's all the shop. Yeah. What is it?
After the issues that you need to be dealing with, it's Amalad, it's Amalad.
I don't think it's right. It's Misha Mesei Muta Lefanav to be discussing what's right and what's wrong, and it's not Matim. It's not Matim. So yeah, I'm sorry, but I just didn't feel it was the right time. Yeah, Shem Yishmor. Okay, everybody, Bisro Tovot and Kol Tov. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Miss you.